This morning we are continuing our series on, well, it's titled Don't Go to Church. And the reason it's titled Don't Go to Church, in case you weren't here last week, is that I made the case, I think, or at least I proposed to you that once you are a Christian, you can't go to church. And we looked at three definitions of church: building, worship service on Sunday, and people. That's the way modern culture interprets or translates the word church, or uses the word. And I made the case from the New Testament that there's really only one biblical definition of the word church, and that is people. So if you are a Christian, a follower of Christ, you're part of the people of God, you can't go to church because you are the church. So this week we're continuing in a series and we're looking at the concept of talents. You'll hear often when we do the offering time, I say that God calls us to give our time, our talents, and our treasures to Him. So these three Sundays, last week we looked at our time, giving our time to God / church. Not that those are equated. And then this week we're looking at giving our talents to church, and next week we're looking at giving our treasures, our money and material goods. So in Romans, I want us to jump in there. Romans chapter 12 brings up this concept of spiritual gifts. But before we get to that, I want to ask the first question that you'll find in your worship guide. And that is, why should I share my talent? Why should I share my talent? And for the other person, what if I don't have any talent? What if I've never been on Britain's Got Talent and couldn't go on, even for walking? You know, so we're going to look at this concept today. And let me do this. Let me read our section of Romans 12, starting in verse 3. And then I'll explain the context of it in a moment. Paul says this to the church in Rome. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ. Get that imagery into your mind. We are one body in Christ. We're a human. We're all parts of a human in Christ. Verse 6, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching, or her teaching. The one who exhorts, in their exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. Let me raise this. How many of you have ever heard the term spiritual gifts before? Okay, good. How many find that confusing and scary? Okay, good. We typically say talents, time, talents, and treasures belong to God just because it's alliteration, you know, TTT. Talents, let me start off by saying if you're a follower of Christ, everything you have, everything I have, comes from God, and so everything can be used for His glory. Everything from playing soccer to quilting to cooking to computer techs. All of this can be used and should be used for God's glory. We exist, if you're a follower of Christ, we exist to glorify Him. In other words, to point to Him. So that when you do really great in business or in your parenting or in homemaking and people commend you, you can deflect that to God and say where it came from. Because we recognize, if you're a follower of Christ, everything you have comes from God. Everything we have, where you were born, when you were born, the opportunities you had educationally or in business, or the talents you have, the smarts you have, the good looks you have, all of it comes from God and is to be used from God, used for God. Okay, so the terminology, talents, gifts, abilities, I don't really care about the different terminology. We can call it whatever we want. But I want to look at what the New Testament focuses on, and I think what it focuses on is helping each other, each Christian, helping each other and the body as a whole to grow spiritually. Make sense? And so forget about the word spiritual gifts. Forget about talents or abilities. Just think of role. Just, you're going to find your role in the body of Christ. And maybe it's here at Union, maybe it's somewhere else, but that's what we want to pursue. What is my role? Because I know that the term spiritual gifts can be very mystifying, especially when you get to 1 Corinthians 12, where he talks about what are called charismatic gifts, and half the church today believes in charismatic gifts, like speaking in tongues and prophecy and healing and all of that, and half the church doesn't, and it's confusing. But that's why I want us to just think of, find your role in church. To ask God, what's my one thing? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do here at my church or wherever your church is? Let me ask you this question. How many of you already know what that thing is, that those one or two things that God has called you to do and you've narrowed your focus? Raise your hand. How many of you know? Okay. Still more than half probably don't. So this hopefully will be helpful to you. I'm going to give you what I have found helpful for finding your spiritual gifts. So here's the, raising this question, how to find your spiritual gift. Oh, before we get to that, sorry, I said I'm jumping all over the place. Too much coffee this morning. Before we get to that, I want to go back and answer that original question, and that is, why should I share my talent? Because it's easy to come into a church and be like a spectator at a play, at a theater production, and figure, well, they got that thing going on up front. I come here, I hear, you know, mediocre music, especially, you know, this morning anyway, and preaching that went too long. And I go home and I did my duty. That's not church. Not church at all. That's the beginning. It's kind of the diving board into church. That's just the start. So when I ask the question, why should I share my talent? Because you might be thinking, I don't have anything to share. Or what I have, I do have talents, but what I have, it doesn't apply to church. Could be. Might be. If you're like, you know, there's certain things that don't apply. Like, hard to see how to, you know, apply your astronaut skills to church, you know, or your lion taming skills, I don't know. So, but I want us to see the foundation for this back at the beginning of Romans 12. If you go back to verse 1, Paul says this, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Now, let me give you a little background about the book of Romans because it's so fascinating. Now, often in the beginning of the New Testament books, the letters, like Ephesians, Philippians, Galatians, books like that, the first part will be all theology. This is what God did. This is your new identity in Christ as a Christian, all of that stuff. The first half of most New Testament letters are like that. Then the second half gets into, therefore, because God did this for you, this is how we live the Christian life. And those two halves have to go together. You can't live in the second half just trying to follow commands and obey, without enriching yourself with the first half of those letters where it talks about how great a salvation God has offered to us and how he changes us through his grace. You with me? Here's the interesting thing about Romans. Romans is 16 chapters. We're in chapter 12, right? The first 11 chapters of Romans does not have a single command in it. Nowhere in the first 11 chapters of Romans does it say, do this. Doesn't say, love your neighbor. Doesn't say, pray for people. Doesn't say, be kind. Doesn't give any commands in the first 11 chapters. It's just theology, theology, theology. It is a motherload. It's like someone took an ore cart and shoved it as far down into a mine as possible, filled it up, and pulled it out of that mine and said, here. And it took days to get through all of the gems that were brought up from that cave, from that mine. That's Romans. So, the end of Romans 11 ends with you could call it a doxology, a hymn of praise. Now let's read this. The end of Romans 11, Romans chapter 11, verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? Now listen to this. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. Isn't that amazing? Because Paul looks back over all those chapters of theology, all those chapters explaining how God's grace changes everything, explaining how God's wrath abides on us in chapter 1 until we turn from our sins to follow him, and how God's grace comes in chapter 3 and overcomes our sin and offers us new life in him. So what's the so what of that at the end of Romans 11 is, how great is God? How amazing is God, isn't he? It makes you want to scream. And then, after he said all that, and he said, look how great God is, how does he start chapter 12? I appeal to you, therefore. And whenever you see the word therefore, you want to ask, what's it there for? Therefore always refers back to what came before. So Paul says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Okay? That is the proper, appropriate, obligatory response to everything God's done for you. Have I made the case that we should share our talents? Look, this is important because we belong to him. He bought us. We were lost in the trash heap of sin. And God came along, if you're a follower of his, and he lifted us out and he cleaned us off. And it took a lot. It took the death of his own son to do that. And that's why Paul can rightly begin the command or the practical application section of Romans by saying, therefore, present yourself to God as a living sacrifice. A sacrifice is something you give up and you lose. Give up everything you have, your own will, your self-will, your own direction. Give it to him for his use. Okay, so that's the foundation for using our gifts or pursuing gifts that we can serve others with. That's why he later very quickly gets into, okay, now that we're all one body in Christ, let's use our gifts. Here's the interesting thing. Before I give you a methodology for finding your gift, and by the way, it's an acronym, GIFT, to help you remember. Before I go through this, here's a crazy thing about the Bible. As far as I can tell, it never tells us how to find spiritual gifts. There are four main passages in the New Testament that talk about gifts. I'll give you those in a second. But nowhere in the New Testament does it say, okay, you want to find out what your spiritual gifts are? Do this ABC method to finding out you can speak in tongues or whatever. Nothing like that. The New Testament sections on gifts just assume that you will use your gifts. You will pursue the best gifts, as 1 Corinthians 12 says. Earnestly pursue gifts. That's what the command is. Okay, so let's look at Lance's method. This may work for you, it may not. The number one, or the first letter, G, is God. And under this, what I mean to say is the first step in finding your role, finding your place in the body of Christ, is to pursue God in the scriptures and in prayer. And let me give you the gift passages so you can look those up. If you are claiming to be a follower of Christ, you have trusted him for your salvation, you are committing to a body of believers here or wherever you are from, then it's your next step, your obligation to pursue spiritual gifts or to pursue finding what your role is in church. Okay, so the first passage is this one we're in, Romans 12, 3 through 8. So that's a gimme, that's a freebie. The second passage is 1 Corinthians. It's really chapters 12 and 14. 1 Corinthians 13, which is sandwiched in the middle, is the love chapter. It talks all about love. And then the next passage is Ephesians 4, the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. What's interesting in that passage is he gives the gifts of the leadership, and that's an interesting passage to talk about because he says God gave pastors, apostles, prophets, evangelists, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. Saints is everybody, by the way. It's not the 10,000 that the Catholic Church identifies. It's every believer. The leaders are given to equip the saints to do the work of ministry. That means the work of ministry is to be done by the average person, not merely by the priest or pastor or whatever. And Ephesians doesn't talk about seeking gifts. It just assumes we're all stuck in the same body, and so we need to pursue helping each other grow in Christ, and that's the goal, helping each other grow. Okay, the last passage is a real short one, 1 Peter 4, verses 10 and 11. So I would recommend you study those passages. They'll help you a bit, at least give you an idea of what spiritual gifts look like. Again, the ones in 1 Corinthians 12 are controversial, but the ones we're looking at in Romans 12 are not. They're basic roles that people play in the body of Christ. Okay, so that's God. The other thing is to pray. God, what do you want me to do? How can I serve in my church? How can I be of service? Now, you may come with some talent that's really helpful. We rely on certain people, certain expert musicians and multimedia tech people to keep things going on Sunday mornings here, but there's much more that goes on than Sunday mornings. So you may bring a certain talent in your vocation or your education that helps, but I want us to just focus on taking a role in church that may or may not relate to whether you have music. You may have musical talent, but not use it in church or in your community group, and that's fine. You may be a teacher. You may be a first grade teacher, and you're excellent, but the last thing you're going to do is teach on Sunday morning after teaching all week, and that's fine too. You probably have some other role to play. So God is the first one. The next is I, and is get involved. Get involved. As simple as that. Look, when I became a Christian, I was 19. I didn't know anything about Jesus or church or whatever, but I threw myself into volunteering. And so I've done pretty much everything you can do, except I've never taught a women's study. And I'm not looking for that opportunity particularly either. I take that back. I did teach a women's study. It was a youth group, and none of the guys showed up that one night. So it was me and a bunch of girls. So I've done everything then. And I mean everything from cleaning up puke in children's church to funerals to whatever. I did a funeral when I was 21. I wasn't ordained as a pastor. It was a person who didn't go to church, but they knew our church was kind of out there, would deal with bikers and, rebels and whatnot. And this guy hung out in this bar in town, and they said, we want someone from your church to do the funeral. No one else was around. And they're like, get the kid to do it, So they sent the kid over, because they wanted the funeral at the bar, because that's where he lived. And so I did a funeral at 21 in front of a bar for a guy I knew. His name was Zero. I didn't know his real name. I assume that wasn't his real name. But just make yourself available. Get involved. You're never, ever, 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 ever going to find your role in the body of Christ without getting involved. And involved doesn't mean come on Sunday morning and sit here for an hour and be bored. Involved means taking a next step. You can look at the list of ministries on our worship guide, and you can get an idea of the ministries we have. The other thing that's key, and that I'm going to push hard, is our small groups. Right now we have a handful of small groups, and we want to double that amount and triple that amount. And so some of you God has placed here to host a group. Some of you God wants to raise up to lead a group. And we're making it easy to lead. We're looking at curriculum to use that makes it real easy to be like a facilitator of a community group. But we believe strongly in community groups because that's where most of the New Testament stuff, the one another's, love one another, be patient with one another, bear one another's burdens. You can't do that on Sunday morning. You can't come here and have superficial relationships with a handful of people and fulfill Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 about bearing one another's burdens. That's life-on-life stuff. That takes getting together in each other's homes and sharing meals and sharing your heart and making yourself vulnerable and allowing others to come help you. And by the way, this concept almost completely disappeared from the Western church at some point in recent church history, and it's coming back, thankfully. But this notion that church is merely an hour on Sunday morning needs to be blown up, needs to be obliterated. We need each other. All you get on Sunday morning, for the most part, is one talking head speaking to a bunch of people sitting quiet. And what you'll find when you check out a community group is we're sitting in a circle, we're discussing, we're helping, we're challenging, we're eating together, and our lives are becoming, well, as Colossians says, our hearts are being knit together. Think about that image. Our hearts are being knit together. But your hearts don't get knit together on Sunday morning. Not enough time, there's not enough intimacy, there's too many people around. And that's why we believe so strongly in small groups, because that's where growth really happens. You see, and this is a key point, we need each other to grow. We don't just need the pastor or the elders to grow, we need each other. We need the person sitting next to us on the couch at Wednesday night community group to help us grow. And they need us to help them grow. Because you see, we come into this life tangled. We come into this life tangled. And I don't mean the movie. I mean more like an extension cord. You ever seen an extension cord all? Well, here's one now. How many of you are do-it-yourself or fix-your-house-up kind of people? You've seen this before, haven't you? Isn't this the worst sight in the world? Don't you want to just melt butter or something and pour it all over, pour olive oil on it to make it untangled? But this is how we come into this world. And it can be frustrating because we need to become untangled. But we can't have you ever seen a cord untangle itself? That's the future. That would be amazing. Forget all those apps on the iPhone. Come up with a self-untangling extension cord if you want to impress me. We need others to grab us and pull out these knots and this twistedness. That's body life right there. And see, that's hard. You're going to be resistant to that if you've never been in a small group. The notion that, wait a minute, I'm going to like confess my sin or be vulnerable and share my doubts, my weaknesses. Yeah. If real growth is going to happen in your life and in the church as a whole, that's the next step. That's a necessary step. So get involved. Be willing to serve anywhere. Now, I think that as you do that, and months and years pass, your abilities, your spiritual gifts just sort of manifest. You sort of discover your gifts, talents, role as you are flying the plane, so to speak. My own experience, like I said, when I came to Christ, I didn't know anything. Didn't know anything about church, and so I just offered my assistance. And then I was given a couple of opportunities to teach kids. It went horrible, and then it got better. And then I was given an opportunity to, on a mission trip, a couple years into my faith, we did a mission trip to the Philippines, and they asked me to teach a seminar on worship, I think it was. And it was at that seminar when, she wasn't pastor's wife at that point, but she was the assistant pastor's wife, soon would be the pastor's wife of our church, said, "You have a gift for teaching." And I never thought I would teach. Keep this in mind, let this be a lesson. Whatever, there might be things right now that you're like, I could never do that. In God's economy, you could. That's what's cool about it. So, get involved. The next F is be faithful. Faithful is key. Show up on time, ready to go. Be faithful. Faithful is where word and deed combine. You say you're going to be there at 9:30 on Sunday morning, get there at 9:30. Get there at 9:25 just to be safe. Show up and be faithful. Jesus said, be faithful in the little things and you'll be entrusted with bigger things. Somebody once said, and I'm quoting this off the top of my head, I used to know this quote, "He who is too big to concern himself with little things is probably too small to be given big things." So if you think there's something below you to do at church, then you need to deal with that, because there isn't. Guaranteed, there isn't. There's nothing below any of us elders or pastors or leaders at church. There's no task that's quote-unquote below us. So that's what I recommend. Now, some of you come in, like we saw by a show of hands earlier, you kind of know what you're, and some of you are very specific, you definitely know what your role is. Then that's great. Then pursue that and let us help you or give opportunities, pursue opportunities for that. As you go along and you are faithful, I am convinced that your focus will become, you know what, I do this for church or I do this in my community. You know what, I really like cooking. You know what, I really like hosting a community group. I don't teach it or lead it. I set it up. I have hospitality. I didn't even know that. I love welcoming people into my apartment. And this is great. And so your focus will narrow. And then your ministry will be that community group. Not anything on Sunday morning necessarily, but that midweek community group that you host. And that becomes your baby. That becomes your thing. And the last is T, is hugely important, and that is testimony. The testimony of other people. You need the input of other people to help you evaluate whether the thing you think is a gift for you is actually a gift for you, because we are capable of delusion. It's easy to think that I'm pretty good at this. Hey, I'm getting pretty good at this. Ever watch that old show, American Idol? One of my favorite shows ever. But just the auditions at the beginning, when they narrowed it down to like 25 good singers, it's like, okay, I can, yeah, it's good singing, I get it. But the auditions at the beginning were amazing because people came in and they were horrible. Sounded like cats being minced in a garbage disposal. Or as one person said, like a walrus giving birth to farm implements. That's what it sounded like. And the person always said this: well, my mama said I'm a good singer, and so I don't mean to pick on the South. That's where a lot of good singers come from. My mama said I'm a good singer, so I should come out to the American Idol and check it out. And Simon would say, well, she's wrong. Did you ever watch that show and go, how did they get all the way here on national television without somebody honestly saying, shut up. Don't ever sing. Don't even sing in the shower. It could affect the tiles. You're so bad. So where was I going with that? So yeah, I liked American Idol. So the testimony of other people is hugely important. On both sides, to tell you, a person who's not afraid to tell you, you're not good at that, don't do that anymore. But also a person on the other side to tell you, hey, you're pretty good at that, when you're thinking you're not. You need both. And let me finish with this graphic. Because I think this is hugely important and helpful for us to kind of evaluate our desires and our abilities. Okay, so imagine we have two things. We have ability and we have desire. Now, the ideal is for our ability and our desire, those two circles, to overlap completely. So the thing that we're good at is the thing we want to do. Doesn't that sound good? Doesn't that sound like an ideal to you? When it's bad is when our desire is over here and our ability is over here. Well, how do we find that out? Because we all have blind spots, we all have delusions. So there's certain things that we think we're good at and that we want to do. But the fact is we're not good at them. Now, practice might help us, practice might make us good, but in some cases it's you got to give this thing up, man. Just practice at home in the garage and that's it kind of thing. So how do we find out when our desire is here, but our ability is here? How do we find that out? Other people. Other people. And likewise, when we have a desire to do something and an ability, but maybe we don't think we have the ability to do it, and so we're hesitating, that's when we need someone to go, hey, you're good at that. You should do that. You should do that. That's kind of my role here at Union. I spend a lot of my time in casual gatherings, lunches, and whatnot, getting to know people and finding out, hey, what would you think about doing the welcome on Sunday morning? Or, hey, you ever taught? Or, hey, we're looking for someone like you to do connection. You're friendly, you're warm, you're welcoming. Or, what, you're good at, you know, we're in a conversation. Have you ever thought of leading a community group? So I spend a lot of time doing that. And that's where you need the input of other people to help you realize yes, I can do this, or no, I probably should hang it up. That's the two circles ideally should come together, but you need other people to help you with that. All right, that's Lance's method for finding your gifts. Your challenge, those of you who haven't discovered what your exact role is, your challenge is to what? Seek God, get involved, be faithful, and listen to the testimony of others, especially mature Christians who aren't scared of you. We'll tell you honestly. Let's pray. Father, we pray for this message, Lord, for the words we hear from your scripture, and for the challenge we get to pursue community life, to pursue you, to be involved, because we see that in the New Testament, the church, the people, grow by the involvement and the contribution of each of us. And so I pray, Father, that none of us would be an appendix, that we would all pursue being vital organs in the body here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.